All right, should we do this thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
I guess.
Cool.
Well, I'm going to do it. Welcome Josh. To the Unnamed Eraser Podcast. AJ, you be quiet. I'm doing the intro thing. I'm your host, Parker Kligerman, NASCAR driver, and you know the rest. Joined by the only guy who's ever been more excited for race control than actually seeing the race cars, Joshua Mendoza, and broken tooth, racing in the pain, AJ Henderson, also known as Controller King. Guys, let's start the thing.
I clicked the button. It didn't do anything.
Why is your camera not 1920 by 1080?
My intros are getting better.
Again! Why is it playing again?
It's on loop.
I can't stop it.
Please stop.
I'm trying to. It won't stop.
Not again.
Oh, you got to stop in.
All right. Well, guys, episode 7, and we're just figuring out that we can't stop the intro music from looping multiple times, which is fun.
It wasn't
lots
a problem last
into.
Week. It wasn't. How are we managing to get less technically advanced?
We're getting worse every week.
and our listenership has increased, and viewership, because this is video as well these days, has increased to a bajillion. More people than are on the actual planet. So we've actually like seceded into the metaverse or something to be able to have this much listenership and viewership.
Yep.
So.
True.
Pretty exciting stuff. Guys, before we go any further, we just have to put it out there. The NAS boys were back this past weekend in the 24 Hours of Daytona on iRacing, joined by none other than the man that came out of retirement from the NASCAR world and the racing world to join us, Brad Coleman, myself, Garrett Smithley, AJ Henderson, you were there, Byron Daly,
Josh.
And Josh was running the was the team manager. Team principal. Mm-hmm. So, guys, we were in the second split, and we looked good. We looked really good.
We did.
I qualified badly, but then I got us up there.
I mean, that could have been the setup, too. Some people could have focused more on a good Q setup. The 24-hour iRacing one is open setup, which means rather than having a set that's made by iRacing, there is unlimited tweaks that you can make to the car. Well, I say unlimited, but there is a tech inspection that you have to meet in order to have an approved one, but you can make a ton of adjustments to the car to make it make it faster or more drivable for you.
This is the time where Josh tries to explain something that every single person listening to this podcast already
really?
Knew.
Really? I'm going to let you know right now, I already had one person email me and tell me that they did not know what Supercross was.
Wow. Really?
That's...
Yep.
You get a lot of feedback that none of us get. Who are all these people that give you feedback?
Who are all these people giving you feedback that we never met and you will not tell us
okay,
the names of?
Maybe not in an email. It was told to me in person by a family member who listens to this podcast.
Yeah, it's okay.
It was my girlfriend, but she did not know what Supercross was.
That wasn't
but that's
an
fair.
Email. He's called a lie. It's a lie.
SMH. It was feedback. I get feedback right, from people who aren't into racing and sim racing, and I'm trying to make this accessible to everyone. How do you think we have 2 bajillion listeners?
Okay, let's get to the 24.
Yeah, let's recap.
Let's talk about
AJ. What? Go ahead.
So you started the race.
Like qualified.
You drove up. You started like 13th or something
13th.
Like that.
Not the best qualifying lap in the LMP. There was 20-some-odd LMP2s as well.
Yeah, it was a pretty big field.
24
a lot of GT3s as well. Yep. Thankfully,
we
no GT3s outqualified us, so that's
26
good.
GT3s, 24
so
LMPs.
We drove from 13th up to, what was it, 5th, basically, by the first pit stop or first round of stops forever. And then we kind of were in that, like, fighting. I made a couple little mistakes because it was super hot and slick during those first few stints.
Yeah, you killed a man.
Well, that
you
was
sent,
even
you
my
sent,
fault.
You
that
sent
guy, I never even got to
car.
Him.
You never got some. Oh, right, that guy. You netcoded him.
So yeah. basically, what happened?
Yeah, rest in peace.
The game interpreted Parker as hitting a GT3 car and sent him into a tire barrier and did the most beautiful barrel roll. It was incredible. It was a perfect landed on all fours. 10 out of 10. Gymnastics people would be proud. So
and then they started PMing Parker, saying that he wrecked them. Even though on Parker's end and all on all of our ends, Parker didn't even touch him. So we had to be like, hey, you know, we'll send you the video that we did touch you if you want to see it. And yeah, so sorry to them. We feel horrible. But we do. It also wasn't our fault. So get wrecked.
That sucks because I can't imagine. I've only wrecked out of one. Yeah. Like, I've only wrecked out of one endurance race. And that was, I made a mistake. Well, actually, I've crashed in two, but I made the big mistake, race ending mistake at the Bathurst 10 hour or 12 hour that Byron Daly and I decided to do ourselves. And it was my first stint in the car and I was on my in lap for my first pit stop and I lost it at the top of the hill and destroyed the car. So I know what that's like
that's
where you practice for this whole thing and then it all ends up done and over. Those guys were pretty angry. They made it very well known, as you said, over DMs. I got out of the car.
Can't blame them.
Nope. Can't blame them. Garrett Smithley got in. He had a decent start. He had a good start to his stints, and then he ended up getting hit in the rear at some point in his stint. I went to sleep. That's when Brad, Byron, then you jumped in, AJ. Byron got hit as well, right, by another LMP2 and had some damage. So that sort of took us out of the – we eventually got to where we were, like, outside the top 10 from being really fighting for the top 5. And then, AJ, you were struggling to stay awake when I relieved you. Yep. And – that is where I proceeded to do the fastest lap. You know,
you did. That is true.
I put in the best.
I thought Brad ended up doing the fastest lap.
Nope.
Brad had the fastest lap for a while, but Parker, I think Brad was the fastest average lap.
He had 5 tenths. Yeah, but I also did the first stints. My first stints
during the day. Right.
So I'm just gonna put it out there. Just gonna put it out there.
I just want to let you guys all know I was within half a second of both of you on a controller. So
that was true. That's you were doing awesome. You did awesome. You were great. You got us back into the top 10 or ever. And then we were that many laps down and I got in. I was just determined to get us to like eighth or wherever we could get. And I think I put in the greatest endurance driving stints of my life and just fast, consistent, whatever. And it was like 5:30 in the morning till like 8.
Yeah. You're by yourself for a lot of it.
Yeah. I got us all the way up there, turned the fastest lap, was just ripping fast laps. And then Garrett got in and he was I was going to ask him, like, do you feel like you want to jump in right now? Are you waking up? Because he sounded a little tired. And on his out lap, he hit the curb and smashed the car into the set us even further back.
Yeah.
So,
but, just, you know,
but he did a good job.
As far as accidents go, like the whole front end of the vehicle was missing. And that only was 8 minutes of damage, which was incredible. And in total, we had 12 minutes and 40 seconds of damage that we needed to repair over the course of the entire 24 hours. If we didn't have that damage, we would have finished fifth or sixth, maybe fourth. Yeah. And I mean, the fact that it was a huge hit and we were able to get back out there with 8 minutes of repair and the car was driving fine, I think that was awesome. I mean,
yeah, I thought it was
fun. That curb, we talked about it before the race. That curb was going to be the end of a lot of people's races because most of the time when you hit that curb, just the way the momentum's going of the car, you're heading to the right to get out of the bus stop. And when you hit that curb, it just sends your car into the outside wall down the Daytona backstretch. And that's exactly what happened to us.
Yeah.
It was very unfortunate. I think Garrett only hit it by like 3 or 4 inches. And it just completely sends the car with how stiff the suspension crazy thing is.
But the crazy thing is you can hit it and it would do that and you go straight in the wall. Or I hit it one time and hopped over it.
Well, send you in the grass.
It was fine. Yeah, it just sent me the grass. Mm-hmm. It didn't knock us weird. Out. So like that was crazy. I will say, though, I saw Steve Myers, which we can get into, I guess. Oh, I could say it now. So I saw Steve Myers that night because I had to go down to Charlotte for Dale Jr.'s induction party to the Hall of Fame, which was awesome. Thanks to him for inviting me. But Steve Myers was there, and we were chatting, and I was like, I told Brad Coleman before we got into that, the most fun I've ever had was these 24-hour races on iRacing, And sure enough, at like hour 16, I asked Brad, like, how much fun are you having? And he's like, most fun I've ever had. So it's like, it's just, I don't know what it is, but the fact that you're sim racing, you're doing this thing that's just going on for 24 hours and you're in this fight and this competition, there's nothing like it. And I've never done endurance racing in real life. I'd love to, but I can't. I just think there's something unique that you also can like do it, go walk away, eat some food, you know, chill out, be checking in on it, and then come back and you're still in this fight. And it's just like, oh, this is cool. I love it. I don't know.
Yeah. And what was fun is we live streamed the whole thing. So we had a lot of people following us along for that 24 hours. Some people messaged us after it was finished, you know, congratulations on finishing it, stuff like that. And our split, I was actually really excited.
Real messages or did you make these up too?
No, these were real messages, Parker. Jesus. Oh man. Anyways, our split had several people who have raced in e-racer events before. So that was kind of cool to see them on there. We had Tucker Minter, Seth the Merchant, just countless.
Yeah,
names.
Donovan Strauss. Yep. Yeah, lots of people.
Yeah, Briar
Kevin
LeBrad,
Bean. NASCAR names. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. NASCAR name.
It was a stout split, no doubt. Like there was some
Ross Chastain.
It was second split.
Ross Chastain was in there. That, I mean, tells you it was these events are a lot of fun and a lot of people enjoy being a part of them. So
to your point of a lot of people, you just reminded me, Steve Myers and I were talking and he was like, yeah, you know, there was like over 15,000, almost maybe over 16,000 participants over the three slots of races. And I was like, Steve, that's the single biggest motorsport event in the world then, because what else in one day, in a 32 hour span, has 15,000 people racing the same cars in a motorsport event? There's got to be nothing bigger.
Yeah.
So it's we'll see if the Le Mans 24 hours is as big, but I think this is bigger because you see a lot of the real drivers are in it because it's before the season gets started, right?
Mm-hmm. It's January, everybody's got nothing.
There's nothing better to do. It's cold. Yeah. Just stay inside and sim race.
And there's also multiple time frames where you can start it. There are like three or four different sessions that kick off at various times. And it's very
Racing's added more splits or more session start times this year. So you have more chances to race, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
It used to only be two and now it's three or four. So
I will say the pinnacle of endurance racing for me is still the Moon Car 24 at Martinsville. Which is Miatas for 24 hours around Martinsville.
Indeed.
With unlimited fast repairs. And that is grueling, but it is so entertaining.
That is.
Mentally grueling. So you're doing that for 24 hours. Moving on,
Parker,
guys.
I wanted to loop back one more thing, and then we can move on.
Okay.
You were talking earlier about how you race, and then you leave and go do whatever you want, and you come back. That's one of the poetic and grueling parts about an endurance race, is I went through it during ours, because it was before I went to bed. Everybody's in Discord hanging out. I forget who was in the car. It was either you or Byron. And we're just hanging out. And then I'm like, I'm going to go catch some sleeps. And then I'll be back. And then I go and sleep for a couple hours. I come back. I think Brad and somebody else were the only ones there. It was dead quiet. Nobody was talking. It was the dead of night. Everybody was tired. And it's just the contradiction between the two from when I left and when I came back to how different the mood was. Everybody's still having fun, but it's just completely different, the whole vibe. And it's one of like the cool parts about these 24 hour events. And I just thought that was neat.
At one point I was literally sitting here like this with my blanket on, falling asleep in the chair. I think I was like sitting here like just watching the car go around in circles for probably a good hour before somebody said, you should just go to bed and get some rest right now. So
I watched when I went to sleep after my stints and Garrett got in, I fell asleep watching our stream on my iPad, just watching the car go around with the live timing. So I think that part is awesome. It's a great point because you have those lulls where it's like early in the morning and it's also nighttime in the sim and everyone's just so tired. And then by the next day, like as you get to hour, I think like 16 to 18 in that range, it can be everyone can be very tired because like they're all, their sleep schedules are messed up or they were checking in on it or they're like trying to do something else. So they got to go somewhere. It's just, it's wild. I love it. All right. Everyone knows we love endurance racing. The NAS boys will tackle another one soon. Or just eraser, but we're AJ, Byron, you know, me, our group, Garrett, now Brad. I mean, I think like we just got to hit as many of these as we can because they're so damn fun. We'll see if we can do Bathurst next if it works out. All right. NASCAR testing at Phoenix today. I saw Kyle Busch spun out. That was the only thing I know. I don't know if there's anything else.
I haven't been able to keep up with it.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it seemed like it was a pretty good test. I mean, they're just getting the cars understood a little bit more. Now, this test is going to be interesting because Phoenix is the flattest track other than like that test that they did at Bowman Gray. Richmond. But
oh yeah, Bowman Gray. Yep.
So Phoenix is going to be interesting because there's a little bit more testing. You're going to get more information on the tires and how that's going to perform. It's a little bit of a warmer environment. I'm not sure if it's the warmest we've been in yet with the new cars, but it's warmer, different track layout. You have that the dog leg on the backstretch where you can mess around with how high the ride height is to see how that affects the splitter and all that. So it's a couple of different things that we haven't seen in other tests that I think are going to be pretty interesting.
Ride height's been important to it. That's been important to all the testing. There's some funky stuff with this car because it makes a lot of its downforce underneath. So you try to sort of, and there's been a lot of discussions if you're allowed to drag the rub blocks on the bottom, which are these, you know, metal basically blocks that are supposed to inhibit you. But then, like, if you, how much are you allowed to wear them? These were a lot of questions that were circling around a month or two ago, and I'm sure they've started to figure it out. But the thing I'd be interested to see is if they're shifting. I'm not exactly sure how the gearing worked out for Phoenix, so where they're at with that. But, I mean, this is a sequential shift. It's way easier to shift. So are they downshifting, you know, into the corners or whatever we were doing in the old car? I can't imagine you're not doing this one. Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure stuff will come out of it, but I don't think right now we've seen anything that you know, anything stand out.
Eraser has something to say.
Okay, I was just gonna say, I had a question for you, Parker.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Phoenix. This is an important test because this is where we're finishing the championship out at. How much data from this test do you think is going to be relevant at the end of the season going into the championship because of how much the car could have changed between now and then?
Depends how you would define the data because, you know, one, the car, obviously the development of the car is not really a thing this year, right? Like, yes, it might change from NASCAR's discretion, but from the team side, it shouldn't, right? We saw the new penalties come around, the penalty system that a buddy of mine in the sport had a joke today. He called it the death penalty, CL3, because it's basically the most draconian penalty we've ever seen. But it's on purpose because it's a car that's not supposed to be messed with. So if you mess with, you know, making your own parts, suspension parts, whatever, and you get caught, they're basically telling you you're not going to be eligible for a championship. You could get suspended. The whole car could be suspended for a race, which would be a disaster. There's all sorts of crazy stuff and a large fine. So I think that's pretty big. But I think when you look at, you know, this new version of how we're racing, I would say in the past, no relevance whatsoever. But this time, I would think it almost sets the groundwork for what can be a compounding effect over the next 8 months, 9 months that leads you to November, where what you started to build and what you started to learn and focus on from this time to then compounds and sort of should build on itself because you're not developing, you're not changing the design of the car. So I think from that, so in that respect, I think it actually does have some effect. I think it could be important. So we'll see. Anything else, guys? Phoenix testing?
I want to touch more, a little bit more on that, the L3 penalties. Do you think that's a barrier that NASCAR is kind of set up as like a catch-all for if you start to screw around too much? Do you think we're going to see any L3 penalties in 2022?
I think the purpose of these, the penalty system, you know, what's been designed is exactly in line with what used to be the untouchables, right? You didn't mess with the engine, you didn't mess with fuel, and you didn't mess with tires. Well, guess what? Now we're considering the car, the physical object, and all of its parts and components under the same umbrella of saying you just don't mess with those. Like if you come in here with something illegal or something that you've made yourself when it should be a part bought from a supplier who, you know, did an RFP on this and literally is supposed to be the only creator of that part, or you bought a part from another team and you weren't supposed to and you, you know, sort of game the system somehow, then yeah, it should be a massive penalty because it's completely against the spirit of what's being done and the rules and everything that we've designed with this. So I think it's right. I think it's important. I don't think we'll see that, but you never know if teams want to be, you know, what, how aggressive they want to be. But I don't think you, I don't know. I don't want to say that because it is racing and we'll go to many lengths. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think it's, you know, it's a good move and they should have done it.
I don't think we'll see an L3 penalty because this whole first year, it's just going to be figuring the car out. I would not be shocked if we I will be shocked if we go 3 years without an L3 penalty. Whether or not they choose to eliminate playoff eligibility, that's a different story. But as you start to learn the car more, you're going to start knowing what areas you could improve on and try and start getting sneaky about it. So I think we'll start seeing that, or we may see somebody make an adjustment where they bet that, okay, or gamble that if I get caught, this will be an L2 penalty or an L1 penalty. And then NASCAR throws the book at them to try and, you know, make a case in point, don't screw around with these parts, and they'll make it an L3 penalty. And that might go to an appeal, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But I think that there's some gambling when you are cheating into what the penalty will end up being. So
yeah.
My prediction is there will not be any L3 penalties. I think we'll find out on a Dale Jr. Download podcast episode in 25 years what they were doing with the next gen to find speed. I think that's what we'll find out.
If you make your own parts, you're in. It's not like teams weren't
doing it
before.
There's
going to
be something weird. Like it's going to be like what you said last week, or like you find speed in the left lug nut. Like as
a joke. I know. Yeah.
It's going to be something weird like that. Like, we put Kleenexes under the driver's seat and we gain 8 horsepower somehow or something. It's going to be something like so minuscule, nobody will ever find it.
Well, that, and it's like, if you make new control arms, like, you know, that's going to get caught. Most likely, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things that teams were doing on the old car as recent as last year that should have been bought parts, but were not bought parts. So I won't go too deep into that. But let's just say they were already doing it in the old car. This one, I think, is just, it's far scarier to do that. The old car, you could kind of get away with it. It was in the spirit.
Yeah.
This one, it'd be far scarier. Let's move on, guys. This weekend, I leave Thursday to head down to the real Rolex 24 at Daytona, the 60th running, 61 cars. I'm going to be on pit road for basically 185 hours from Saturday to Sunday.
Wow.
So if you turn on the race and you don't see me on pit road or hear my voice, most likely seeing me is probably tough. Just know I'm just probably 5 feet away or so. Once I get
on that wasn't a joke.
No, I'm literally, I think
you made
the
joke. I thought you made the joke last week, but I didn't know it was a legit thing.
No, I'm going to be on for a while. So I'll be there. But if you didn't watch the Roar last weekend, pretty crazy finish.
Yeah.
Between in the DPI category. That was cool. So you had the Konica Minolta 10 car, which is Wayne Taylor Racing. That's been, you know, won what, the last three, I guess, of them. I should know all this right now, but my research started about a day ago, but nonetheless, and they were holding on to the lead once again. And you had Richard Westbrook in the Mustang sampling number 5 for Action Express, or no, I'm sorry, for JC now, go for the win there. And in the last lap, first corner, like made contact and spun out. And that was pretty cool. So for a sprint race that just gives you the pole for the big race, now you get points, but still kind of crazy.
Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. And I love to see hard racing like that. I feel like endurance racing, you don't see a lot of really close racing because everyone is, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But when you make a legitimate sprint race out of it, then you start seeing some pretty intense racing. And I love to see those cars race like that.
Although I do like to make the joke that 24 hours wasn't enough, so now they had to race more.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know why, but I just find that joke to be so funny. it's my favorite. So I hope you guys like it. Yeah. Also, cool story on the driver there, just before we jump off of this. Richard Westbrook. So he was in the Ford GT Ganassi program, if you remember, I believe, for a while in the IMSA category. And then kind of fell out of racing and went and worked somewhere. And then Calvin Fish was telling us, I don't know where he went and worked, but he didn't like it. So he ended up mortgaging his house to get funding to get back in a race car, and now has a main ride in the wow. DPI category and was going for, he was that's the one going for that win.
Insane.
So he was trying to be like, look, I'm back. Let me in. Yeah. And I thought that was kind of cool. So we'll follow him and see if he's able to turn his deal around. Guys, I'm thinking about mortgaging this podcast to get back in a full-time ride. What do you think?
You probably do it.
You probably I think it's worth could. It. I mean, I don't know how much you get for it. We can get you in a Lemons car if you want to.
Yeah. Nope. I value my life.
Josh is really trying to get you in that Lemons car.
He is. I tell him often I still value my life. That's the problem. So,
and you act like Lemons cars are not well put together.
They have roll cages. Okay.
They have roll cages. They have SFI certifications. They were, and stuff
it was
like
welded
that.
Up by cousin or Josh's cousin Jerry, but you know.
You know what?
Yeah, that's that sounds appetizing, guys. Let me sign
actually
up that one.
The car that we race was a former SCCA car. So, you know,
that
a
still
well,
doesn't make me feel any better.
Okay. Don't you race SCC? Didn't you rent an SCCA Miata at some point?
No, it wasn't SCCA. It was I don't know who the sanctioned, but it was Lime Rock, our own driver's club. We had a thing.
So it wasn't like a nationally recognized sanctioning body that was putting the standards together to make sure that everybody was safe. It was just
at Lime Rock,
we're getting into semantics
alley,
now.
Back alley racetrack that's throwing on a non-sanctioned event.
At Lime Rock, okay. We do things only to the utmost and utter perfection. So
it was a world-renowned racetrack.
World-renowned. Historical facility. Racetrack. Yeah, facility, motorsports venue. Thank you very much. Now,
spa wishes.
Just because we have, just because we have fun with racing, doesn't mean we don't take safety serious. I will say it now, and I will say it again. Lemons Racing is the safety is the number one priority. With that,
all right. We saw
very
Josh's brother take that curb at Sonoma.
And jumped it,
and he was fine.
He did jump.
Yeah, he did jump the car. I mean, yeah. The car's theme was based after an airplane. I think he took it a bit too serious when he used the turn seven jump. But at the end of the day, also, Joey, I know you listen to this podcast. I'm really happy you're okay. But boy, did you yeet that thing into the air. And boy, was it incredible to watch. So anyways.
That's awesome. Hey,
let's
Josh,
move on.
Yes.
Speaking of mortgaging things to get somewhere, did you buy the dip?
Well, Parker, did you sell the mountain?
Oh.
This is my once a podcast, at least once podcast reference to the crypto world, just to annoy Josh.
It's starting to move today.
It's starting
up
to move
a little bit.
It is going back up. Now, I will say,
I don't think we've seen the
cryptocurrencies.
No.
Don't offend me as much as NFTs do. So you're not gonna get under my skin with a cryptocurrency. I own cryptocurrency. So. I made money on meme stocks. I made money on meme coins. I bought GameStop. I bought AMC. I'm all for the memes. I'm here for it. So don't mistake
it. So you should love NFTs then if you're
no, memes. I hate NFTs. Until they
oh
are
my
good
gosh.
For the environment, I don't care. I don't invest
some
in
of them
Ethereum.
Are.
I don't invest in Bitcoin. I invest in Dogecoin.
Okay. Wow.
Isn't Dogecoin right. built on like Bitcoin's network
don't,
or something?
Don't even bring it up. Don't
on
even
Ethereum
bring
sure
it up.
It's on a thing. It's an ERC-20.
I'm totally hypocritical.
Yeah,
I don't want to
like
hear it.
Most of them are ERC-20.
I have bought it, but I'm pretty sure when you're buying it through like a Voyager platform, you're not actually buying a coin.
I'm just buying it and Voyager's just holding it for me. So it's technically
well,
not
no,
mine.
Well, no,
well, yeah,
I
you
actually.
Don't, you don't have custody. It's not self-custody.
You don't. It's not in your wallet, so it's not done on the actual blockchain. So the transaction of me buying the coin through Voyager doesn't actually get put through the blockchain.
I didn't throw the Snickers wrapper out my window. I handed it to the passenger, and they did it.
Well said, AJ. Thank you very much. That was perfect.
Am I incorrect, though, Parker? When you're buying it through...
I actually don't know exactly how the exchanges / brokerages work. We would have to look into that, but I do know if you were to send it off to your, you don't have your keys, and if you don't have the keys, it's not your coins. So they would be holding your coins technically. Yes. Like when you buy on a Voyager platform. Yes. Where they have them, I don't know how that works or how they then what, you know, do they have a certain amount basically in a, in a treasury that then they like allocate mm-hmm. to you, and then anytime you can send out, but they're kind of holding centrally on that treasury. Maybe that's how it works.
Yes.
So, and then that's when you have a blockchain event. But you know what? No, I have to think about that for a second, because then the pricing, the order flow, this can get very technical as to how you, the order books and such, and how those are referenced and the pricing.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's on a central database that's on the Web 2.0 platform.
Oh boy. No. My brain's hurting from all this talk. Baby. All we know is Voyager has no fees and it's great. Let's move on.
Actually,
9% on USDC, 10.5%
that's all the Voyager token, baby.
And for some reason, none of us are even. The only guy who's sponsored by them is even here.
Where's Landon at?
We're doing his sponsoring for him. We need to get Landon on here after next week. Next week is the clash, right?
He will. So, he's going to come on here. He has no choice.
He really doesn't. He's going to be held hostage until he gets on here.
No, we'll just kick him from the Eraser Discord if he doesn't.
Yes. I am now the owner of the Eraser Discord. I have got it out of Landon's hands. So
I'm the captain now.
I am the captain now. Okay.
Moving on, guys.
We've probably confused the heck out of our listeners at this point.
We've just wasted so much time.
They didn't know this was also a crypto podcast. Because we live
podcasts. I didn't know that either. This is all news to me, too.
AJ, you brought this up, the next thing we want to get into. This is pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is going
to
be another time sucker. So, Joe Gibbs Racing released a video today of a practice pit stop at their pit stop facility, and it's not choreographed the same as a normal pit stop that we've seen in the past. All the pit crew members go around the front of the car now when the car comes in. They mm-hmm. change the right side tires, and then all of them go back around the front of the car again, and the front tire changer becomes the rear tire changer, and the rear tire changer becomes the front tire changer. Parker, you seemed really interested in this earlier and had a lot of input, and I forget everything you said, so you go ahead now.
So it's really interesting because let's back up. For those who are listening and they can't see this on video, we'll drop the link somewhere when Josh ever says that. But this is interesting for a couple reasons. One, let's look at the old way you did a pit stop. The old way was the front guys went around the front, the rear guys went around the rear, and the rear would be ahead of the front guy because obviously he's getting to the rear tire before the car basically comes to a stop, whereas the front guy is kind of running around the front, and his once he gets there, the rear tire changers theoretically almost started, right? Then the rear tire changer will beat the front tire changer to go around, right? And then, wait, did I mess that up? Hold on.
Hmm?
Hold on. Let me think about that for a second.
Oh, boy.
Are you explaining old or new pit stops?
Old. I'm explaining old. Rear tire changer is behind the front tire changer in terms of pace, speed. So in the old pit stop, when they get to the left side, the jackman is basically looking to the slowest corner, right? Which in the past was, now I'm thinking the rear.
It is the rear because the rear tire changer cannot jump out in front of the car until after the car has come to a complete stop because he goes around the back.
I'm just trying to play it out in my head, and then I got all confused because I was starting to think about like pit stop choreography, and I turned my brain to a pretzel. Anyway,
Parker's not
right,
used to seeing it from outside of the car.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to imagine it from where I'm staying on pit road or racing when I'm in the car, and I'm like, wait, why am I having such trouble with this? But I'm in between spots. All right, so then what happens is the jackman sort of controls the stop at the end, and what he's doing, he's looking at that last guy. And he has to almost sort of like guess or use the corner of his peripheral vision to understand what's happening to the front guy. And that's why we see often where there was left fronts that were left loose or that guy's last guy hitting it sort of thing. So because he has to pick who's the slowest and sort of go off them and then just sort of go, right, on a really fast, well choreographed stop. I did this way better before we were on the podcast.
Yeah, you're doing great.
With this one, it's interesting is, as you explained, with this new car, the car comes to a stop way quicker, right? Which I noticed when I was at the Charlotte place, bigger brakes, more bigger tires, comes to a stop quicker. It also accelerates insanely quick. And one of the things I noticed when I first saw stops done with this car at the Charlotte test a couple months ago was, in the past, when a car accelerated away, it would almost sit there spinning its tires, you know, still for a second, and then it would start to accelerate away. This car grips up so much, at least it was at Charlotte, that when that jack man was dropping the jack and pulling it, it was like so close, like inches before the rear tire looked like it was going to run over the jack sometimes. So I think some of this is, one, that they're seeing that this car comes to a stop quicker, so maybe this works out better with the timing. Two, it puts them in a better position timing-wise for dropping that jack and how fast the car accelerates away. So I think – and where the jack man looks, which corner he looks at to decide that he's going to drop the car and let it go. So I think all those things combined, it must be some sort of timing thing that they're looking at doing this way.
I'm just trying to understand why now. This looks like this would have been faster even on the old pit stop style.
I don't know. It could be fake too. We could find out it's not even allowed.
Oh, they're controlling us.
I mean, I'm just trying to, so it's because I don't know if there's a change of regulation that allows the rear tire changer to go in front of the vehicle now. If that might be why this is happening, if it's to try and help speed up pit stops with reduced men, I don't know. Or people,
I could have swore I saw like there was some rule about going behind the car. I could be wrong, but I thought that there was something about that like months ago.
Maybe they're trying to prevent the tire changer from getting gas on them or something like that when they take out the fuel can or something like that. I don't know. But
maybe somebody more well-versed can let us know. Send us a voice memo.
Yes, a voice memo. That'd be great. We want to hear your thoughts, but I read all the comments everywhere and I can't seem to figure out why this is suddenly changing now. Maybe we'll find out more.
Maybe the tires are so light. The tires are so much lighter. Maybe the tire carriers can just like
move so
much quicker.
It's a timing thing.
I don't know.
It's a timing thing is what it is. If it's for real, it's a timing thing. But I'll be honest, and I say this in the utmost affection for all my pit crew friends out there. I never paid much attention to pit stop choreography. And my point being, I didn't care how it was done. Just get it
fast.
Done. You know, do it fast and do it well. I think I'll preface that with when I went on the pit reporting side, then I started to like look at it from this different angle. And I did find times where I was like, well, damn, that was kind of cool what they just did there, and started to see things. But it's weird because when I'd get back in the car, I'd go to me being like, I don't care how you do it. When that jack drops, I'm leaving. You know, like, I don't care what happens out there. And I appreciate the athleticism and the things that people do, but we don't even have, like, when you're in the car, you have no view for that stuff. Like, you just have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, you're not thinking.
You're just sitting there and you're like,
yeah, clunk. You hear it, you see it, you know when it's going wrong and you know when it's going well, and you have that sense and an understanding, but you just, I couldn't tell you, if you know, what sort of choreography they're doing or that sort of thing. So
yeah.
Interesting stuff. Anyway, I don't know if that explains it well for anyone, but
I do wonder if they do that where they all go around the front. If you're just taking right sides, that's probably not viable, because the amount of time it takes for the,
you would want to go
back
all
tire changer,
all want to run around the back.
Oh,
yeah,
I think you're right. Oh my goodness, Parker, I think you're onto something.
We're gonna be the fastest Dow owned race.
We should
team
create
in the world.
Our own. We should create our own pit stop company.
Are we a Dow race team now?
That's what I thought was happening. I mean, that's what I heard.
Maybe we'll Parker. Dow our eNASCAR team.
There you go.
Can we Dow to purchase the FIA?
That I will get behind. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, 100%.
That does lead to our next set of stuff, by the way.
Wow, what a segue.
Hey, I think we should end the pit stop thing with, if you know anything more about that, and I should have called Steve Letarte or someone, because he would have told me exactly what's going on there and would explain it all to me. But I will find out. So just know that our uneducated selves right now will find out the answer.
Would Steve Letarte want to come on as a special guest at one point?
Oh, you never know. Maybe.
Maybe he could explain it to us all.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you can get him a call in, at least.
There you go.
He'd leave a voicemail. Boom. Steve will leave a voicemail. Guys, speaking of the FAA, for the last 4 or 5 weeks, I think every time I go on a motorsport news website, this isn't bad F1 headlines, but this is pretty bad.
I think I know where you're going, and I hope I agree with you.
Every time I go on one, it is recounting something to do with this whole FIA decision at the final race and how they need to do this to get credibility back, or this to get the fans to tune back in, or this and blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everyone time out for a second and shut up. Literally all these people are going to tune back in, and they lost zero credibility. The only people that literally think they lost credibility are the ones who lost. So I have not seen a single person say that Max Verstappen is not the legitimate F1 world champion. I have not seen a single person since this time that of any substance or that matters say anything about the, you know, finish being in steel and disrepute and all this stuff. It's like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Move on, cut your losses. We're all going racing again in 2022, and it will not even be a topic after the first race. So
yep.
I'm just so like, I'm tired of going to these sites and seeing this every time. And I'm sure they get clicks, and I get that, but it's just like, shut up. Like, we just don't care.
I want to revert back to the couple of episodes ago where you say the FIA is the king of making sure that they stay in the news even during
the off-season. FIA. Formula One is.
Formula One.
Yeah, and they are. They are the king.
I just got to say, it's funny how you've gotten to the point where you're like, I'm sick and tired of it. Can we get to March already so we can have new things to talk about? I mean, it is funny. It works. We are at a really interesting crossroads with both Formula One and NASCAR going to brand new cars, and the absolute difference of the off-season coverage is staggering. NASCAR is just talking about the new car, this and that. Meanwhile, Formula One, absolutely 100% still stuck on last year, and not even good peeps point. Of the new car. So
that's a very good point. Usually it's the opposite. Usually it's like, oh my gosh, NASCAR, why can't you just do what Formula One's doing? They're doing this so good. NASCAR, you're falling behind. NASCAR's done definitely compared to Formula One, but just in general, like a tremendous job explaining the next gen and like documenting it and live streaming it and covering it on social media. I haven't seen anything from Formula One in months about the new car. It's just like, oh, here's this race from 1997 where this dude did this thing and he won. It's like, I don't care. That was 27 years ago. I want to talk about next year, Formula One. And so we're always praising Formula One in their socials. Yeah. But that's a good point. I never thought about it until now. What are they doing?
This is great. I love how passionate you are about this, AJ. It's awesome.
I'm so mad about this now.
I agree wholeheartedly. And it's actually funny, Josh, because we do normally say they are the best. Formula One has been, and I've told this story many times about how they kept themselves in the headlines and they do it so well. But this new car, I've seen these weird renderings by the teams where they're taking that same single model and putting their paint schemes on it. And they get like very low engagement on those, and like there's just no excitement. And the thing about Formula One has always been building towards the new launches of the cars, and sort of like many years ago it was about testing, and you know, maybe 10 or 20 years ago we'd get these vague testing photos of the cars and they'd be deciphering what they were, and now they are going to a more spec built car. And it's sort of interesting, are they losing some of that off-season coverage because everyone's sort of like, well, we'll see what they come up with, but it's going to basically be the same car. It's going to look very similar. So I don't know. It's interesting. It normally at this time of year, like that's the discussion, is like, who's going to be hitting it. But you're right. We're stuck in the past for some reason. And they probably look, they have a lot of eyes on them and they're going to continue to grow. That's why I think this whole discussion is ridiculous, because they are on a, you know, the momentum they're building is just, you can't stop that overnight. And it won't stop overnight, but it is interesting to see that they are kind of, NASCAR is nailing this whole like, hey, we got a new car. Here's how cool it is. Here's all the things we're doing with it. We're going to LA. We're going to do the Coliseum. Here's this new track we just built in a stadium. Here's the next gen car going around a big track, short track, road course. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Here's an iRacing. Well, you can go race it tomorrow.
You can. That's right.
Yeah.
Our next gen car has been on iRacing for 6 months.
It has.
You know?
It has.
Yeah,
it
it's absolutely fun.
I mean, we're about next, I think it's next week, we're going to have the first eNASCAR race with it.
Yeah, February 1st.
It's
at the Clash.
Coliseum.
At the Clash, yeah.
We're going to be able to race the Coliseum in the tomorrow night, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or when this comes actually, out, it will be of that night.
That's actually a great segue to my topic. iRacing is releasing the Coliseum. As you're listening to it, it should be released already. But as we're recording, it comes out tomorrow. It looks awesome. I'm really excited about it.
That also means that Mooncar
is
100% doing something at the Coliseum tonight.
I'm really excited about that.
So go watch. Or
yeah, go
join.
Download it. Go buy it and download it so you can go race in Mooncar if you haven't already. And if you're not going to race in it, tune into Moonhead to watch it, because I guarantee you it is going to be the calamity that you are hoping to see in the real life Coliseum.
It's the best show in sim racing.
Right? It is. Yeah. It absolutely is.
Well, I can't wait. That's going to be fun. I'm interested to try it. I'm still undecided if I'm going out there for it or not. I'm game time after the Rolex. If I'm completely dead after the Rolex and being up for 400 hours, I might have to call kibosh on it. But I possibly am going to go out there and check it out. I know, Josh,
when's
you might
the
be
real
going.
One?
Well, it's next
February 6th. February 6th.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Next weekend.
Yeah.
So, okay. it's going to be exciting.
It's fast approaching.
Snuck up.
Yeah.
Man, actually,
it's gonna be cool.
I saw something on Twitter that was really cool. This next 3 weeks for Los Angeles is going to be incredible for sports tourism. They have the NFC championships between the LA Rams and the 49ers, the LA Coliseum, the NASCAR opener for the season, basically. And then they have the Super Bowl the following weekend after that, all in LA.
Wow.
That is going to be crazy. So
wait,
anyways,
you just reminded me, guys. So I'm hanging out with a very cool guy from NASCAR. I'll give him a shout. Tim Clark from NASCAR at the other night. And I get a text from two of my buddies who do not watch motorsports, do not know racing other than through me, and live in LA. And they're two of my best friends. And they're texting me, hey, should we be going to this? Parker, do you know about this NASCAR Coliseum thing? Are you going to be here? Should we be going to it? We're looking to buy tickets. And I was standing there with them. I'm like, hey, apparently your marketing's working. And apparently, speaking of NASCAR doing great things, everyone I spoke to in LA said you literally can't go anywhere without seeing and knowing that this race is happening in downtown LA.
Wow,
and
that's
that
good.
It's like sort of a buzz about it. And I was like, that is super cool. It's working. So
yeah, that's great.
I can tell you right now, they're going to get way more fans from this than they would ever by having the Auto Club be a short track. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Auto Club short track is going to be cool. But this is going to get more fans and more interest.
Calm down. We don't know that. The Auto Club short track is going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing.
No, that's really funny that you bring that up, because I've heard from many people before. I think it was on Door Bumper Clear they were talking about it. Where like they could be at a race at like Talladega and like go to a bar during the Xfinity race, and like the race isn't even on TV and nobody even knows that it's happening. But to hear it in LA that people are like hearing about it and hyped up about it is really refreshing. Or even with the Chicago street course on iRacing, there were like actual signs in Chicago being like, hey, this thing's on iRacing, go watch it. So
And the timing is excellent, because I believe it's right when like around the night before the Pro Bowl, so people aren't really interested. It's an off week for all the football that's happening in the world, if you don't count the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it's like perfect timing.
It's perfect timing. Then they take a week and a half off before they start after the Super Bowl's happened to get into speed weeks. So
I hope they get a similar viewership that we get on this podcast, because if they do, that will mean a bajillion tuned in.
And yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
And then maybe
and
they
a
could
quadrillion
sell.
Will be in the stadium, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that'd be awesome.
We can count.
Guys, I just got to give a quick shout out as we get towards the end of this. WRC World Rally Championship was in Monte Carlo the other week, last weekend. Which is one of the craziest rallies in the world, because it's like a pavement rally, but it's snow and ice. So it's like absolutely insane. And I don't know if you saw, but the WRC has like a new set of regulations. Cars are insanely fast. And Sebastian Loeb came out and won again in the WRC, which is just insane.
Classic.
He's actually in his retirement. He did retire, after winning 9 world championships, I believe it was, then came back, did Dakar, has been doing Dakar, then came back in a partial capacity, and now has won again. I think he won his like 80th or something World Rally Championship. And he also had a woman co-driver who became the first woman co-driver winner. So,
Of
a rally. Is WRC the peak of that type of racing?
The top, yeah. WRC is Formula One. Yeah.
So he won 9 of those championships?
He did, but the way I – so you're going to go out towards my 7 championship thing, but the okay, so
it's
listen.
It's not wheel-to-wheel racing.
It is a non-wheel-to-wheel racing championship. Does not count.
Totally understand. I just was making
sure. And neither
does
dirt sprint car racing because it doesn't go towards Parker's narrative, apparently.
No, dirt sprint – like we've heard that one. I'm hearing that one loud and clear. Dirt sprint car racing could potentially – or World Outlaws could potentially ruin the whole thing. But I got to think about that. And I got to do more research. I got to understand. I got to think. I got to think about how that.
He's
got to
think
narrative.
Of a good excuse on how it doesn't count.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
That's what he's gotta.
I got to go do. I got to go with my workshop here and finagle around some numbers and things, figure out why it doesn't fit. But that's. I just want to give a shout out to that because the WRC. I haven't been able to watch it in many years. I think it's maybe on Motor Trend these days. I don't even know where you can catch it. I used to watch it growing up on Speed and the recap shows. But God, when you see those cars going through Monte Carlo at night in like icy roads and doing 135 miles an hour and sparking and through crowds of people with smoke bombs going off, like that's motorsports insanity to me. I'd love to see that in person sometime. So.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's awesome types of racing. I love it.
Josh, I'm going to let you do this. What did you do last night? What did you do last night? I'm going to tune out now for the next 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, same.
What? AJ, turn your video back on. What the heck? Don't ruin it for everybody. Anyways, I was just excited because I got to throw a red flag in iRacing. And you're probably wondering how that even works. I had everyone line up single file on pit road and Monday night racing because there was a massive timing and scoring issue because we had to throw a yellow in the middle of green flag pit stops. It's funny because I always Landon's always yelling at me. He's like, Josh, let's get green flag pit stops. Let's do that for this race. And then I'm like, Landon, you don't realize if a caution comes out in the middle of green flag pit stops, it screws everything up. It always does. And it's typically because there's sometimes bugs that happen. I mean, it happens. Even in real life, it happens. But it was so screwed up because we also give wave arounds, and the wave arounds were issued in an incorrect order by one of the admins. And then people were taking wave arounds that weren't issued wave arounds. So then the timing and scoring was just, it was a blender of the lineup. So we basically said, screw it, we'll do red flags. And it was hilarious because Twitter started blowing up from all the drivers posting their in-car views like Brad Keselowski did during the 2012 Daytona 500. And the broadcast was having...
Which you penalized all of them, I assume, right? Because you're not going to have your phone in the car.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a that was a $50,000...
That's the best part of this whole segment.
Thank you, Parker.
Josh, I'm enjoying the segment. Don't
Thank you.
To the haters.
Anyways, I think it would be. I honestly think the red flag was probably drove more interest on social media towards that race than if it was just the regular race. And I honestly think, even though it kind of sucked, it really gets me excited for the future of potential possibilities of what could be with rain and stuff like that during oval racing and red flags and stuff of that nature. I think. Red flags, if done in the right way, can drive more interest towards your race than if there wasn't. And that's one of my takeaways from last night is red flags actually garner more interest as long as it's short enough. So
be sure to check out Josh's upcoming Medium article where he'll dissect this thesis and break it down into a social media number and statistic backed dissertation on why red flags are good for your race and viewership. Thank you.
I'm getting from this is Parker is anti red flag, like Josh is anti NFT.
I'm not anti red flag. I think it's actually hilarious that you pulled this off and everything. I just when we talk about like race control particulars, my eyes glaze over sometimes. That's my problem. So he, I do appreciate what you pulled off.
We have seen before. The man that's like, this isn't the first time this has happened. I think it happened in one of the eraser events.
It happened in the Carnomaly 500. There was an issue because a yellow flag came out right as our leader was on pit road, and it lined him up incorrectly. It lined him up 15th when he should have been first. Yeah.
But kudos to Josh for being able to figure that stuff out.
What's funny is you say that I'll write a Medium article. I actually did write a 2 or 3 page report.
I read it.
And I sent it off to iRacing, dissecting what happened on that incident. And they actually published a couple of updates to try and assist when that would happen so it doesn't happen anymore. And I haven't fully been able to test everything, but I know that they have definitely done their best to fix this, and it can happen. But the other thing with Monday Night Racing, which I think is incredible and awesome and really cool, is the fact that they're hosting their championship race in person at the Charlotte's Esports Center. That's incredible.
Very cool.
That is the stuff that is going to make sim racing relevant in a larger capacity. Sim racing, esports, and more in a larger capacity. They're going to have me remote in on video so that they can show race control happening at the esports center. They're going to put me up on the monitor or something like that. So that's
awesome.
Parker, that could have been you. If you would have raced full time in Monday night this season.
Stuck with it. Yeah, that's true. I think somebody passed you
with your all time wins.
Who?
They did.
Yeah.
Tied for second.
It's like Adam Cabot or something.
I think it's like Adam Cabot or Shane Van Ginsburg. Are up there.
Oh, I think it is Shane, yeah.
Yeah, so.
If I had known this, I would have just went out and ran, and I'd win again. And I would have just won Phoenix into, what's his name? Raja, like 8 times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were doing trucks at Iowa last night, which is your bread and butter of winning capabilities. Oh, my gosh. So
trucks. That would have been my thing. It would have been an easy lock.
Yeah.
It would have been a lock.
Yeah.
I just want to, quickly. Kudos to Ford, Evonaut, M&R for pulling that off. That is super cool. That's exactly how I would have done it if I was putting together an in-person event like that for sim racing. I think they set up obviously something really cool. I don't know the Charlotte guys that well, the Phoenix, I believe that's Phoenix as well. I don't know them that well, but really cool for them to sort of step up and help make it happen. And I think I look forward to seeing it, watch it. So I hope it's a great success.
Happy for them.
Yeah.
I hope you get a lot of people to show up and, check it out and experience it and work out the bugs and see where I can go, because that's just super cool.
And I'll give them a free little shout out if you want to go. They are selling tickets for it, and I believe you can get it at mondaynightracing.com, so go and check it out. So
awesome, good stuff. Speaking of e-racing, we have the e-racer numbers being announced at some point here in the future, so we'll figure that out
sometime. Stay this tuned. Week hopefully
yeah sometime we'll this week yeah we'll see. That's gonna be fun. You may know our drivers. You may know we have a team, but you don't know our numbers. And you won't know.
They're not the same numbers as last year.
No, they are not.
Or maybe they are. Maybe they are.
Maybe they aren't.
Maybe
we're going triple digit numbers just to bug Landon.
Or like Dale Jr. when he switched from 8 to 6.7.
Ooh.
Could be that one.
Decimals. Yeah. Can we do decimals?
Possibly. You never know.
See.
If it makes you guys feel any better, we haven't decided what our numbers are. We're just going to announce it, and iRacing's just going to have to approve it because we already announced it. So
we hope they stick. Yep.
Yeah.
Guys, that's it for me on this podcast. Do we have any comments or reviews out there that we need to shout out? Did anyone
look? Actually, yes. Dylan Nadwad.
Oh, yes.
During our 24-hour race, said he hasn't listened to any of our episodes yet, and then proceeded to listen to every single episode
in 2 days, 6 hours of content.
And my brother did the same thing driving down to Los Angeles and back. He listened to everything, and both of them, they absolutely enjoyed it. They found it extremely entertaining is what they told me. And then Garrett also, I know you're probably listening to this, Garrett. Hello,
Garrett Smithley, a long-term listener of the podcast.
He's listening. So shout out to him. Week one,
founding member of NAS Boys.
Yes, one of the OG NAS Boys. So
yeah,
That was.
I believe the NAS Boy, the only NAS Boy to compete in every NAS Boy race.
Yes,
other than your guys's Petit Le Mans race
that you and Ryan did. If you count me as a member, I've been to every single one. Well, so far.
Yeah, I guess driver.
I'm a team principal. So,
yes. Guys, we only have 2 reviews on Apple Podcast. We need more reviews.
Well, that's
and 5 2 ratings.
Written reviews, 5 ratings. Yes. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating on Spotify. Write a review on Apple Podcast. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Do all that stuff. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Make sure you get notifications when we upload. Boom, 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 boom. Do all the things. We want to hear from you.
Yes.
Eraser.gg/podcast. Give us a voice memo. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts. What do you think? Tell us about the pit stop procedures.
If we get 1,000,000 likes on our video, we'll make...
I will give away an Xbox.
We'll do something that Mr. Beast did.
AJ if will we get eat a Logitech wheel.
And I will live. Give away, I will, yes, live. And I will give away an Xbox box. It's not going to be an Xbox, but it'll be an Xbox box.
Oh, so. An Xbox box. That's actually a great giveaway. Well, you should give that away anyway.
Yes, put some
bricks
inside.
We're giving away an Xbox box.
Yes. Oh, man.
Wait a second. Like, we're putting that out there. We are giving away that box. Don't do anything with that box. We're giving that away on Twitter here soon. If you leave a review, whoever leaves a review from this podcast going live from now till we want to send out that box, what do you win? That box. And maybe we'll put a prize in it. Who knows? Something that's more exciting than just a box. But you are getting an Xbox box.
There you go. Everyone, we can have Josh sign it. I'll send it to Parker. Have you sign it? Send it to Landon. Have him sign it. Send it to me. I'll sign it.
There you go. Beautiful. That's going to be awesome. It'll be the only Xbox box that's signed by a bunch of people. So,
and then we'll turn it into an NFT at the end.
Yes.
Ah, there you go.
I'll take a photo of it. I'll save a copy on my end. So,
I think I'm going to shut this down because I have to head to the Rolex 24. Thank you all for listening. I'm done with YouTube. So, goodbye.
The music's playing now.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
You know, Parker actually composed this song.
Composed.
On his piano behind him. He made the song.
I did.
So. Okay, say something funny so we can end it.
That was perfect.